Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, February 25th, 2021. And today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 39, paragraph 2. We're reading the second half of the paragraph. If you go to the bottom of the page and start three lines up, you'll see where we're going to be reading, starting with Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. And we're reading and commenting on the remainder of that paragraph. Today's readers are Phyllis D. for the 12 steps, Liz T. for the 12 traditions, Eileen M., Leslie M., and Jody E. Mary B. will greet newcomers after we finish our recording, and Robin P. will close us out with some announcements today. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, February 24th is 16460. That's 16,460. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for February 25th is 16468. That's 16,468. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating and all of its forms can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Phyllis D. to please read those 12 steps.
Okay, sorry, I always forget to unmute. This is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois, and here are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service and have a good day.
Thank you, Phyllis D. You too. And Liz T. will read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Hi, this is Liz T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the opportunity to do service.
Thank you very much, Liz T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism, and we are at the bottom of page 39, reading the second half of paragraph 2. Come 3 lines up, and then you'll see just where we're beginning our reading. And I will now ask Eileen M. to please read for us.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Eileen M. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Okay, Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic, much less accept a spiritual remedy for his problem. We told him what we knew about alcoholism. He was interested and conceded that he had some of the symptoms, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about himself. He was positive that this humiliating experience, plus the knowledge he had acquired, would keep him sober the rest of his life. Self-knowledge would fix it. Okay, I really identify with this. This is a very powerful paragraph, and it's such a good example of the mental obsession. And, you know, of course, Fred is a real alcoholic, so he was not able to overcome this by himself. Here's just such a great example of self-reliance. And, you know, where does self-reliance get him, you know, and where did it get me? I remember when I started listening to Vision for You, and I got a sponsor right away, and she asked me this question. She said, "Are you done?" Which, you know, that translates to, "Are you ready to try something new?" You know, a new approach. And I needed to become convinced that, you know, what I was doing was not going to solve my problem. It was not going to solve my problem with life or with compulsive overeating. And that, you know, as long as I was thinking that way, I wasn't going to get better. For a long time I was clinging to that old belief that somehow I was going to overcome this. You know, and as long as I was doing that, my mind was not open to possibilities. You know, the word powerless means out of answers. And, you know, I think at this time, you know, we have this little saying in program is that maybe you need to do more research. And I think at this point, Fred needed to do more research. You know, he needed to get out there and experiment to see just what he could do. You know, and at this point, really, Fred could not make the admission of hopelessness. So he couldn't take step one. I mean, he wasn't accepting the program, even though, you know, they were telling him, Bill Wilson, you know, whoever, was telling him what they knew about it. And even on page 7, Bill Wilson talks about he thought the answer was self-knowledge. You know, he thought that was going to fix it. And, you know, I like this word on page 40, concede. He conceded that he had some of the symptoms. And the word concede means to admit reluctantly. So if I'm reluctant about, you know, this, if I'm reluctant about this, you know, it means to be hesitant. And I mean, if you're hesitant about this program, about this remedy, you are not ready and you are not done. And, God, I just learned that the hard way so many times. And I'm so grateful to have found the solution. I'm so grateful I got to the point, I got the gift of desperation, because that's the only way I could get better. So I thanks so much, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Eileen M. So although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to comment on this paragraph, press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Mo H.
Janet M. in New York.
Roz G.
Don and E. Kansas City.
Don E. Kansas City. Anybody
Danielle
else?
O. New York.
Danielle O. And one more.
Jordan L.
Wow, you guys were like a symphony, how clearly you came through. Thank you very much. So we've got Mo H, Janet M, Roz G, Don E, Danielle O, Jordan L, la, la, la. Okay, if you're not Mo H, please press star 1 to mute your phone. And Mo H, please go ahead.
Oh, yeah, good morning. Yeah, that sounded really good. I like that. Mo H here, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict. Thank you very much for your service, Elaine, and for all those giving service on this meeting. Yes, I agree I agree with the opening share that Fred was unwilling to take step one. He wasn't ready to take step one all the way. He was maybe has one foot in and one foot out. But that was me. I could totally identify in with this, because when I first came to OA, that, you know, I used it as a diet, you know. Above it, he says he made up his mind to quit drinking altogether. Well, I made up my mind to diet when I first came in. And I spent 25 years doing that same thing over and over again, and it never worked. And it wasn't until I was done, like the first share said, you know, am I desperate? Yes, I was desperate 5 years ago. Was I done? That I was willing to get out of my head in this self-knowledge business. Yeah, self-knowledge fixed me nothing. You know, diets fixed me nothing. I just had to surrender to the entire program as it is written and work it every day of my life. And I am so grateful for this program that is, you know, carrying me through some very tough times right now, and needing help with many, many things that I didn't think I would need help with ever. But anyway, yeah, so I would, you know, do a little bit of conceding to myself that, you know, yeah, maybe I'm like you, but not quite as bad. No. So Fred was, you know, like I said, one foot in, one foot out. And I always blamed my addiction on the circumstances. If only you would. If only this was different. If only blah, blah, blah. That doesn't work. I have to surrender completely. So we're really talking about step one and self-knowledge. Self-knowledge. 25 years of self-knowledge got me nowhere. And so I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mo H. Okay, Janet M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Roz G.
Good morning, and thank you. This is Janet M. in New York, a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And Fred reminds me of all the treatment and hospitalizations and books I've read to gain self-knowledge, and everything supported my denial about this disease. I remember being in treatment for 3 months and then another 30 days in the same program, a hospitalization program. And in my exit interview after the 4th month under the same director, the doctor asked me why I couldn't eat like him when I'm hungry. And I had gained a lot of self-knowledge, you know, and the things they gave me to eat, you know, I continued to try to eat with control. I applied mindfulness eating. I tried everything. And I wanted to believe, above all, that I could eat like other people. Today I'm willing to admit that I can't. I'm just not like other people in my body when it comes to food. And, you know, God gave me this disease, I think, as a gift to employ his wishes, you know, how he wants me to serve with this body, with this mind, with the strengths and weaknesses he created me with. And I found you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And have a wonderful day, everyone.
Glad you found us, Janet. Welcome, welcome. Thank you. Okay, so Roz G., you are up next, followed by Don E. Please go ahead, Roz.
Good morning. Let me take myself off speak. Okay. Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I love that share before me. What a gift. Thinking of this as a gift. Wow, it is a gift. But what I would like to say is that saying that he was far away from admitting, far from admitting. And I've been in OA for 18 years. And I used to go to, I went to meetings all the time where the big book was a part of the literature table, but never read. It was always topic shares and talking. It was like group therapy, like what I heard earlier, dieting with group support. That's what it was. And they would have workshops. And so I went to a workshop where this one lady got up and said, it took me 5 years to get abstinent. And I thought, dang, that's a long time. You know, I'm thinking, is that how long it's going to take me? Little did I know it was going to take me 16 years. But I didn't go to meetings where this book was read. And it was finally where a woman came in as a speaker. She wasn't a part of our regular home group, but she came in as a speaker and she had the big book in her hand. And she was bright. You know, unfortunately, my judgmental looking at people, you know, I look to see whether this person's abstinent or not, and that's wrong. I don't do that today. But, you know, she looked bright and thin, and she had just a brightness and a peace and serenity about her, and she talked about the big book. And, boy, it still took me time. I was far from admitting that I could not do this, that I was beyond human aid. Studying the paragraphs line by line, hearing the shares, the humility, the honesty, and for me, becoming a part of the group, because I was apart from the group for many years. I'd go to a meeting once a week and that was it. The rest of my week was mine. But that's not how it is for me today. Every morning I am praying, meditating, and talking to someone every day. I'm on one, you know, some kind of meeting somewhere. And I have to use humility in my life because otherwise I'm going right back into the food. So So I'm glad that the book says, you know, some of us, it takes a while, and we're far from admitting it, but we're still accepted, and I still get to come because of the tradition that says the only, you know, way I can be a member is to have the desire. And I'm way beyond that. Thank you, God, for that. But anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Okay, Don E., you will be followed by Danielle O. Please go ahead, Don.
Good morning. This is Don. Well, Fred and I have a lot in common because at the outset of my membership in OA, my first meeting was basically learning about the first step and agreeing that it was right for some people, but no, I wasn't helpless. I think that's a third step word, but at any rate, my own personal pride was keeping me in denial, as well as wanting me to hang on to the control. And that was what kept me initially from really availing myself of all the benefits of the program. But the reward that I've achieved with OA is that I no longer am a slave to my intellect, what my brain knows, and I no longer think with my brain. I feel with my heart, and that was a tough one at first, was to give up, become helpless, and admit that God was going to help me with this. And intellectually, it took me a long time before I realized that there actually was a higher power in God that could help me on a daily basis. Once I gave that up, thinking and feeling with my heart gave me all the benefits of this program, all the benefits of knowing all the wonderful people, and ultimately the disease was a blessing in my life because it led me to understand God's plan of how this program could not only help me with my suffering, but also my enlightenment and the joy of life. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Don E. And Danielle O., you're up next, followed by Jordan L. Please go ahead, Danielle.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Danielle O. from Northern New York. You know, when I first came into the rooms, I was fairly young. I was 28 years old. And I heard of the steps. I knew that there was a blue book in the corner that was screaming for me. But when I started getting into the actual reading of the book and the chapters, this Fred guy is someone who stood out to me because I, for one, did not want to admit complete defeat. And even though I knew about these steps and I understood them, really, really doing them and acting on them and being active in it was a whole different story. So I stayed in program, and I eventually found OA, and that was probably 14 years into my journey. And even at that time, you know, question me on anything in the book and I may have known the answer. But since my time with Vision, it is a lot more clear because I can relate so much more now to what my problem really is. And my problem is exactly what Fred faces, and the same thing that sits in my brain that says, listen, you're a smart girl. You don't really need this program. you've got a degree that says you're going to be successful. You have family that supports you and loves you, and they're going to say, listen, you don't need it either. You're just going through a tough time. And, you know, there's so many different excuses as to why I don't need this program. And I have used every one of them. They are all used up. There are no more excuses. And I think Fred felt the same way eventually, because he did admit a complete defeat. And I did. And I don't know if he did anyways. I know I did. And I think that was crucial to my recovery, because now, just in a short amount of time, I've been able to look through some of the real deep-rooted things that was telling me that. And I walk through my house. I have a family that eats the way they're going to eat. And it's very neutral. I don't feel compulsion to want to eat any of those foods that they're eating. I eat what I know I can eat, and I'm very content and happy with that. That peace of mind means everything. And that's why I know I need to be here and on the phone talking regularly, because when I'm not sharing out loud, I can be left with my own thinking. And that is a dangerous place sometimes, but not today, because I'm here, I'm doing it, I'm in the book, I'm reading, I'm following the suggestions, and I'm reaching out. I'm doing all the things that I've known from the very beginning when I first got into 12-step recovery to do. So I'm grateful it's still working today, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Danielle O. I just want to remind everybody what we're commenting on before Jordan L. shares next, because we'll be taking a lineup. So we're on page 39 in paragraph 2. We're reading the second half of the paragraph. If you go to the bottom of the page, count three lines up, it'll start with Fred would not believe himself an alcoholic. So Jordan L., please come share your experience, strength, and hope with us, and then we'll take another lineup after Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. My name's Jordan. Can you hear me?
Yes, you sound great. Thank you.
Okay, sorry. good morning. my name's Jordan now. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting with you guys this morning. Fred is, I have said this before, but Fred's my boy. Fred's story and my story run very parallel to each other. There was a point where prior to getting and hopefully staying abstinent for good, I had prior to 2017, I thought that I had gotten this. I was free from sugar and flour completely and totally. I was following a very restrictive food plan, and I was out in the world doing my thing, you know. I thought I had figured it out. I really, really thought I had figured it out. Like, I was done with those sugary and floury substances for good. and I wound up back in the food, I don't know, 9 months later, a year later or something like that. It's pretty foggy, so I can't even recollect it clearly. But it was not, my answer was not self-knowledge. and it sucked because I really thought I had figured it out. so I came, when I returned to OA in 2017, it was really, really clear to me that self-knowledge was not gonna do it. Which I think that was, it says somewhere in here, a little bit further down, like it was a hard pill for him to swallow. Fred was the kind of person that like could figure out problems. Like he could master them, you know? And it was a hard pill to swallow that this was going to be a problem he wasn't going to be able to master on his own. and I had that same sort of experience. It was like, what? I don't even know what to do now. Like, I do not even know what to do now. I have no clue how to just be surrendered to something I can't master, you know? And self-knowledge is, it's still not my answer. So I'm recovered today. I've worked all the way through the steps and have found a state of neutrality around food, which is amazing. That's a miracle. but self-knowledge is still not my answer, even now.
Gentle reminder.
These days I'll start thinking a character defect, like I can use self-knowledge against a character defect, and it still doesn't work. so anyway, very grateful. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. So, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you'd be interested in commenting on the second half of the last paragraph on page 39, please let me know.
Anne Marie M.
I heard
Patricia
Anne Marie
E.
M. Bruce E. Patricia. Larry G.
Camera C.
Alexis F.
Okay. Camera, Alexis, and Larry G. I think that's all we're going to have time for today. Let me see how I did here. Okay. Oh, boy. I can't read one of these names. Anne-Marie M. Bruce C. Was it Patricia? And I didn't get your last initial. Larry G. Cameron and
Patricia
Alexa.
Ann M.
Mm-hmm. Patricia Ann M. All righty. Mm-hmm. And then, I think Cameron, and Alexa. Sorry about that. Can't read my own writing. So we'll start out with Anne Marie M. Hi, Anne Marie, and followed up by Bruce C. Bruce E. Please go ahead, Anne Marie.
Good morning. It's Anne Marie M., recovered through God's grace in South Carolina. So grateful, and thank you so much, Elaine. Good to hear you. I can identify with Fred for the most part. I mean, my life didn't look absolutely great when I came in, but I came to my first meeting, and I heard mentioned that there are some foods, particularly sugar, is what I heard, that was as addictive as cocaine, as addictive as drugs. And I thought, these people are Looney Tunes. I mean, they are just like way over the edge, you know, that I'm not ever going to eat sugar again. I mean, that's ridiculous. I didn't believe them. For the next probably 20 years, I went back and forth. I kept going out and trying all different things. And I just kept on coming back until I finally realized that, yes, I do have an allergy to food. I finally, through God's grace, became desperate enough 35 years later. sad to say, but, you know, I learned so much during those 35 years that I was in and out. And I would say the last 15, I really put a lot of effort into learning the big book, understanding the big book, going through the steps with several loving, kind sponsors. I finally became desperate enough to do whatever my sponsor told me to do. She gave me some disciplines that I would have to do every day. I said, fine. I didn't have any yeah buts like with my first sponsor. So no yeah buts with the sponsor. So anyway, I am recovered. I am ready to sponsor. I'm grateful. And so I'm just going to end with that. Anne Marie M. In South Carolina and available sponsor. Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Anne Marie M. Okay. Bruce C., you're up next, followed by Patricia M. N.
Well, thank you. Thanks, everybody serving on this line. And Bruce E., recovered in Florida. Good to hear Anne Marie's doing so well there. Hope you get a sponsee pretty quick. Anyway, Fred, well, these stories in this chapter are terrific. And I relate to all of them. Maybe not when I first read them, but later as I kept reading them over and studying them, I did. And so Fred hadn't run out of good ideas yet, has he? He hadn't quit. He still got more research to do. So I was just thinking about what was some of the research I had to do. What was some of the good ideas? Well, self-knowledge definitely was one of them. I got that when I first came into OA. It took me 25 years in OA before I got into vision and got recovered. So 25 years of research and good and coming up with more different ideas. One of them was weighing and measuring alcoholic foods and eating it. That was one of them. And reporting that food, weighing and measuring an alcoholic food and reporting that food in. Now, how about that one? So, and then relapsing every week or two or 3 weeks and not knowing why and just figuring that relapse is just a part of this. You know, this is just, you know, and I didn't call it relapse. I just called it a slip. That sounded a lot better, right? So, yeah, that's what I thought I could get away with for all those years. What else did I do? Well, I had a self-knowledge. I had that magenta 25, 30 years ago. I had that magenta colored 12 and 12, OA 12 and 12. I read that thing until I wore it. I wore out a couple of them, but I remember one of them, I had it taped on the end. I wore it out. I had a pen sticking in it where I was reading, and I wore that area inside of it, the top pages out, with that pen sticking in there. And I practically memorized that book. That was all self-knowledge, and that didn't get me recovered, you know. But I thought it was working. I thought it could work. I thought it might work. And, yeah, I mean, going to meetings, you know, I mean, sometimes I went to a lot of them. Sometimes I went to a few of them. That was some of the research I did. And I really just needed to come into here and just really get honest about myself and what I was doing. And I had to suffer a lot of pain. And I had to come to a bottom of things. I had to thank you. And so I had to do a lot of stuff, right, to get finally recovered. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. Patricia N. M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Larry G.
Thank you. I fought the thoughts of the truth in the solution, and that's what I did. I fought the thoughts, and I'm going to figure this out. And people have told me in the past, you know, figure it out is not a slogan. That's not a slogan, figuring it out. And me and my stubbornness, it was like, no, you know, but he was a long way from admitting that he could do nothing about it himself. And that was me for years. And listening to other people, you know, if you're spiritually fit, you can eat what you want and all the different stuff, you know, the family, you can have a little bit, you can have, you know, all, and then my own disease telling me that, you know, you haven't had that in so long, look, and oh, you had that 3 days ago, look, you're not craving, see, they don't know what they're talking about, you're not craving, you can have some more, watch, just pay attention and see if you crave, you know, and all this crazy, crazy stuff that went on, and I fought those thoughts, I fought the solution. For me, my solution is that I have to weigh and measure it, because I am not only do I have the allergy of the mind and the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind, I have the behaviors, the overeating, the feeling stuffed, that feeling stuffed. So I have to weigh and measure my food, because that feeling stuffed is also part of my disease, which I didn't know that. So my disease progressed, and I love the solution now. I feel safe with my solution, you know, writing my food down, weighing and measuring. I feel safe. And I don't have to obsess about what I'm going to eat or if I'm eating too much or I'm not eating. I don't have to do any of that crazy stuff that I was doing. I am so blessed to have the solution today and to be able to accept it as a blessing, not as, oh, my God, that's not me. No, there's got to be another way. There's got to be an easier, softer way than that. And not realizing that the way I was eating was my bondage. You know, people that don't have this disease tells me that me having to do this stuff, weigh and measure, blah, 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 that's my bondage. And I'm like, today I'm saying no, my eating and the way I ate was my bondage. This is my solution, and I'm very grateful. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very much, Patricia Ann M. And Larry G., you're up next, followed by Carmen, I believe it is. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading my own writing. Please go ahead, Larry G.
Good morning. My name's Larry G. from California, a recovered member of OA. Thank you so much, Elaine. You do such a good job on this phone. And I don't know if the people out in this call realize how awesome you are. Every day I listen to this call, and you guys are amazing. Every day we talk about the common peril and the common solution. I am like Fred. I am like the Jaywalker. I am like Bill W. I am like Jim, but I'm very much like Fred. Fred and I have a lot going for us, except one thing. We have a lot going for us, except one thing. We do not have the spiritual solution. I'm talking about prior to May 17th when I came to Vision. The old boys and old gals and AA, I attend AA, have 39 and a half years. The old boys and old gals are absolutely right. They would say, Larry, they would tell me in the beginning, Larry, you can have the best sponsor in the world. You can be recovered, Larry. You can be recovered. You could be attending all the meetings, giving service, reading out of the big book every day. They said, one day, the desire to drink is going to come back. It's going to be so strong that you don't know what even hit you. And the only defense, Larry, is a power greater than yourself. And you know what? They're right. Because I'm recovered in this program, but 2 weeks ago, I was experiencing anxiety that I had not experienced before because of a situation. And the desire to come back to eat was so strong. It overpowered me. It terrified me. But I had the solution. I pulled over. I was out of gas, pulled over in this AMPA market. The first thing I did was I prayed. I prayed like my life was hanging on balance, and it was. The second thing I did, I called a Visions member, and we did a 10-step in the parking lot, of this AMPM market. And the old boys and old gals and AA were right. The only defense that day was a power greater than myself. And, you know, for 26 years at Overeaters Anonymous, I somehow missed the email. I didn't get the memo that the only defense against that first compulsive thought was God. I didn't read the big book. I read the common material in OA. Like someone else said in the call, I discovered after joining Vision, having kind of a comparison of the two programs, the two fellowships, face-to-face meetings I went to, Visions, that it was very much like therapy. And it works for a lot of people. I don't have anything bad to say about OA. It didn't work for me because
gentle reminder.
I'm done, and thank you so much today. Grateful that I know that the only defense is God. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Larry G. Okay, so next I have a camera.
Hi, Elaine. I think you heard me. This is Tamara C.
Tamara C., thank you so much. Thanks for your grace. Please share with us, and you'll be followed by Alexis. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your service. This is Tamara C., grateful, recovered compulsive eater in California. So when I first came to OA, I was happy to admit to myself that I'm a compulsive overeater because before I came to OA, I thought, what's wrong with me? Am I crazy? Why can the people around me take a little bit of that and then stop eating and push it away? How do they know when to push it away? And so I thought there's some moral failing in me or lack of, like they have a stronger character than me that they can stop eating. So when I first came to OA, I was like, oh, I have a disease. And so I just felt such relief from all this shame and self-condemnation. So I was like, yes, I am a compulsive eater. I'm one of you guys. Tell me what to do so I can be cured. What do I do? And I just jumped in. I started using all the tools every day. I was so enthusiastic. And then, you know, eventually that pink cloud wore off. And then it became harder and harder to admit that I was a compulsive overeater. I did not want to be. I did not want to hear my disease gets worse, never better. I did not want to hear that. And I was like, really, God, you expect me to work this program every day for the rest of my life? That would be unbearable. And that's because I misunderstood the program. I thought that it would look like this. Like, I am fighting that first bite. I can't take that first bite no matter what, or I'll be back into destruction. And so I'm desperately, miserably fighting it every day. And in order to be safe, I have to work these tools, go to meetings, figure out my food, send it to my sponsor, make phone calls. And I just thought it would be, I would always feel deprived of the food and of a normal life because I thought this program would rob me of a good life because of the time it takes. And so all that self-reliance and misunderstanding led to a relapse. And then finally, I was so beat up by the food, I thought, well, anything's better than this. So I started going to meetings again, and I'm so glad that God led me to this vision meeting. And I started hearing phrases like food neutrality, and I no longer want those foods and behaviors, and I'm abstinent, and I'm doing so happily. And I started to hope that I could be happy, joyous, and free. And so, yep, got a sponsor, worked through the steps, following the directions in the big book. And I finally started understanding that it's this, what does it mean when people are saying it's a spiritual disease and there's a spiritual solution? And so I'm so grateful to be recovered and spiritually growing. And I'm like getting these little tastes of that fourth dimension of a life beyond my wildest dreams, and my self-seeking and fear and anger are getting less and less. And,
gentle reminder.
Yeah, and so it's true. I wouldn't trade my worst day recovered for my best day in the disease. So I'm grateful to be one of us, and I pass.
Thank you, and thanks for your grace with your name, Tamara C. Really appreciate it. Okay, Alexis, I think it's Alexis A. is next, and you'll be our last share today.
Yes, this is Alexis F. in New Jersey. Excuse me, recovered. Grateful compulsive overeater. Knowledge tells me what to do, and practice tells me how to do it. Self-knowledge teaches me about myself, what my character defects are, because I'm convicted of that by God, and what my alcoholic foods are. So it has its place, but I have to go beyond that. And to go beyond that, I have to know God. And to know God is to love Him. And all I know is that I have a love of this program, and I follow what I love. And I have a love of God, so I want to learn more about Him. And I'm not in a league to share at this meeting, but my heart is in it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very, very much, Alexis. So we're closing just a minute early, but that'll give us some extra time to get numbers from newcomers, because we'd love to give you some support. And I just really want to thank you, Alexis, and everyone who shared such great shares today, and everyone who did service. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Leslie M. please read a vision for you?
Thank you, Elaine B., for your service. This is Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.